profess and unashamedly.
It really struck me because a lot of times you see the teacher or instructor or whatever, some kind of message on it, and it isn't obscene, it's inappropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm good? All right. Got my fashion consultant over there, and I'm good. All right. I won't embarrass myself too much, at least for that. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Take your Bibles tonight, if you would. Open them with me to the book of Ephesians, if you would, please, tonight. The book of Ephesians. While you are turning there, I'll ask you maybe a question. If you were, as Clark did, to strike up a conversation with someone that maybe you have just met, maybe it's on a plane, maybe it's in the line at the grocery store or some other store, maybe someone new at your workplace, or maybe it's a friend of a friend of a friend of a, well, you get the idea, maybe somebody that you've just met. If you were to strike up a conversation, and in the course of this conversation you were to discuss, oh, you discuss job, you discuss politics, you discuss relatives maybe, what if, and what would your reaction be if the person in the course of conversation were to tell you that they are, or that they were at one time, a night watchman? Oh. Well, what would your reaction be? Would it be, or, well, maybe they call it overnight security or something like that. Maybe a security engineer, make it sound good, right? A night watchman, security engineer. Would you be impressed? Would you be impressed with that? Well, you're a security engineer. Okay, you're a watchman. That's great. Or would it be, you know, kind of that, oh, that placating kind of a, good for you. All right, I'm going to go this way. What would your reaction be? Well, perhaps you've seen maybe a TV show or a movie or something like that. Maybe you've seen a few of them that for the sake of, oh, they call it comic relief, perhaps. They seem too often to depict such a role of a night watchman as one of being, maybe it's just a, well, we've got to put the boss's child someplace, let's get them a night watchman job, because we'll put them there, we won't have to worry about them, things like that. Maybe it'll be a consequential position because, well, it's the last straw, and if you mess this job up, you're out of here completely, right? So maybe they busted you down from some important job and, well, now you're the night watchman. Well, very often, things like this are kind of picked on, I think. Things like this are ridiculed just to get a laugh. But, you know, the honest truth of it is, a vast many jobs that seem so glamorless and thankless or menial really are some of the most important roles that we could occupy. In fact, these kinds of things are so important that there is a great weight put to this charge, as we find a great many scripture passages that speak to being a watchman. I'm sure many of you are already thinking of scripture passages. Perhaps maybe the most well-known verse that says, "He calleth to me out of Seir, watchman, what of the night?" You familiar with that passage? And if you're doing the through the year Bible reading, Bible in a year, you have just recently read through that passage in Isaiah. It's Isaiah 21, "Watchman, what of the night?" Of course, there have been a great number of sermons preached on the spiritual application of the answer which follows that question. The answer comes in verse 12 of that chapter, and it reads, "The watchman said, the morning cometh, and also the night. If you will inquire, inquire ye. Return. Come." Well, perhaps your thoughts, maybe they didn't go to that passage of Scripture. Maybe your thoughts go immediately to the New Testament account of the disciples with Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, before the crucifixion, when Jesus said, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." Now we know this account of how Jesus returned and found Peter, James, and John watching with him, right? Nope, you know what the account was. Jesus returned. He told them specifically, tarry ye here and watch with me. And as soon as he came back, they were asleep. And so, of course, the Lord's response was, Peter, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Now, we don't know specifically, aside from that statement, exactly how long the Lord had been praying while the three men were supposed to. Now, these, remember from this morning, these were the three disciples that were closest to the Lord. They were his most beloved of the 12, if you will. And so they had special privileges beyond what the other nine might have had, right? I mean, they were with him in the Mount of Transfiguration. They saw some very tremendous things. And so they went a little further into the garden with Christ, and they said, listen, guys, watch with me. And they couldn't do it. Well, whatever thoughts or passages might have come to your minds when we talk about a night watchman, it should be quite apparent to realize that being called as a watchman of God, which, by the way, we all are. Did you know that? We are all called to watch and to pray. Being called as a watchman is not menial in the least. It is not just a passed-off kind of a job. It is of utmost importance. When Jesus, our Savior, says, watch with me. So even as we walk through this life, awaiting his return to take us home, he has called us to watch. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, as we look to this message tonight, watchmen, are you watching? Father, won't you meet with us here tonight? May your Holy Spirit lead and direct in this message that, Father, your word will strike to my very heart. That, Lord, I'll not be able to escape the power of your word tonight as you bring out the necessity and the importance of watching every moment of every day with you. God in heaven, I don't want to disappoint you. I don't want to let you down. I don't want to bring a reproach upon you tonight. May your Holy Spirit work through this message and through your word in my heart and, if it be your will, in the hearts of others as well tonight. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, to set the context for our study tonight, let's be reminded, again, as we brought it up just a moment ago, let's be reminded of the watchman's answer when in Isaiah chapter 21 and verse 12, he said, the morning cometh. He was asked, what of the night? He said, the morning cometh. Well, what do you see? What do you perceive? That's kind of the idea in the question, watchman, what of the night? What do you see on the horizon? What do you see coming? Is it peaceful or is it dangerous? Are we in danger of being invaded? Are we in danger of an enemy showing up? Or are we all quiet and it's all good? What of the night? What do you see? Well, he said, the morning cometh. The spiritual application, as it's been preached many times, is that there's a spiritual dawning coming. Maybe you've been in a trial. The morning cometh. Remember the verse in Proverbs that says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. So the watchman said, the morning cometh. But he didn't stop there. The watchman said, and also the night. So it's a very good possibility that this passage, scripturally, spiritually speaking, is saying that, look, there's the spiritual dawning is going to happen. Blessings are right on the horizon. Or the night also cometh. It could be almost disastrous, depending on what happens next. Now, the most prevalent application, of course, is the choice that we have to make concerning how we are going to act next. It doesn't matter where in life you are. It doesn't matter the situation that you're in. What matters is how are we going to act next. It's the same choice that God gave to Cain in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 7 as he was As Cain was so angry about Abel's offering being accepted and not his own, God said to him, if thou doest well, he said, why is thy countenance so fallen? He said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And he said, if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Also in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11, verses 26 through 28, Moses is sharing the word of God with the people, and he says, behold, I set before you a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God that he commands you this day. Or, God says in verse 28 of that chapter, a curse if you obey not the commandments of the Lord your God. Remember, and notice if you will, that that was a very particular phrase. If you obey or if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. He says, a curse if you obey not the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day. So as the watchman over our personal walk with the Lord, as watchman of the conditions, if you will, maybe it's the fruit bearing, if you will, of those with whom we can have a godly influence or impact regarding our spiritual lives, and as watchmen of the condition of the world around us, because, by the way, we need to be ever so diligent about recognizing the temptations that we face in the world around us every single day.
Amen.
You see, God is giving us a moment to pause right here tonight through this message. He's giving us a moment to pause and to ponder and to check up on our watchman duties. Are we watching? As the title of the message says, watchman, are you watching? We are daily, sometimes hourly, sometimes moment by moment, at the same crossroad of whatever we do next could be a blessing, and it could be a curse. Look in your Bibles, if you would, Ephesians, finding chapter number 6, if you would, please. Ephesians chapter 6 is our source text. You'll recognize this passage very quickly here as we start. Find your way down to verse number 10, if you would, please. You'll recognize this passage as the armor of God passage. The Bible says, starting in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. He goes on in verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And my friends, we'll close on verse 18. We'll close out the passage on verse 18 as the key verse to this message tonight. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and what's that word? Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we're called to be watchmen. Watchmen over our personal walk with the Lord. So, watchmen, what of your night? Are we actively watching what we do and what we say? Do we recognize, like Asaph did, we've heard that a number of times recently, do we recognize, like Asaph, that we tend to get caught up with what's happening in everyone else's life around us? And do we sometimes see that our feet have also well nigh slipped? Are we watching where we are in our spiritual walk. Think about this phrase for a moment, well nigh slipped, as Asaph testified. He says, my feet have also well nigh slipped. Your feet. Your feet are what you stand on. Your feet are what you stand with. And if they slip, well, that can lead to sliding. Can we apply that to what we stand on? If we allow that to slip, it leads to backsliding. And it leads to falling. If our feet slip and we slide and we fall, are we somewhere on that path tonight? Ask the Lord to help you tonight, because I've had to ask the Lord to help me with this, because are you somewhere on that path? Are you almost, or are you in the process of slipping? Maybe the first question should be, do we know how to recognize whether we are close to slipping? Well, as you know, Asaph only saw how close he was once he, what was his remedy? Went up to the house of God. And then he saw, because he was getting caught up with the prosperity of the sinners around him, he got caught up with that, and he almost went that direction. But he went up to the house of God, and then he said, oh, then I saw their end. Okay. Friends, are we so recognizing our position that we have to come to the house of God, we have to spend time with our Lord God in the Word of God and on our knees in prayer with God and communion with God to say, oh boy, oh God, I'm sorry because I almost slipped. The way to recognize where we are is to find out where we should be, right? And we do that in the presence of the Almighty, righteous Master and Creator. That is spending time. That is spending lots of time with God. Spending time in God's Word. Spending time in prayer. Spending time in fellowship with godly friends and people who also need and find their strength in God, that can share how God has helped them and how it might be that God will also help you in your situation. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now, why do I bring up that verse? Well, we're talking about watching. And are we watching? And the very first phrase in that verse says, looking diligently. Okay, well, looking where? Well, looking at our own walk with God. Looking at where we are in our fellowship with God, because that's the only fellowship that's going to matter. Recently, I've seen articles where people have lost so many friends because of their stand on COVID and the vaccines, and they've lost this and they've lost that. Can I tell you, if we listen to the Lord, there's only one fellowship that matters. That's with Him. In fact, if you would, just turn with me very briefly. Keep your finger here in Ephesians, but turn over to Hebrews chapter 12 with me. I want you to see this. Hebrews chapter 12. We've seen it in the last couple of weeks, but look again in light of this message of being a watchman. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's start looking in verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, because of that truth, because of what we just read. Skip down with me into that same chapter to verses number 12 and 13. The Bible says, because of the verses 1 and 2, he says, wherefore, in verse 12, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. It brings to mind the relevance of the passage in Psalms about Asaph. My feet had well nigh slipped. He says, no, make straight paths for your feet. How do you make straight paths for your feet? Thy word is a lamp unto my path and a light unto my feet. Right? Thy word. He says, make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame, if you're almost slipping, be turned out of the way. Remember we just read a little while ago, don't be turned out of the way in which I command you. Right? That was the cursing that Moses had talked about. But he said, let it rather be healed. Again, in verse 15, it says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. How is that possible, to fail of the grace of God? I thought God never fails. God never fails, right? That's what he says. But how then is it possible that the man might fail of the grace of God? Well, look carefully at what it says. It's not the grace of God that may fail. It is, in fact, we. It's us. Lest any man fail of the grace of God. The charge continues, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. You see, when we're watching our path, when we're watching our walk with God, if we get so caught up in, oh, I've done wrong for the Lord, and I just can't, there's no way that I can get back. The Bible says I can't bring to crucifixion anymore, and I know it says that I should confess my sins, but I've done that so many times for the same thing. How is God possibly ever? If we let that distract us from the truth of the Word of God that says, confessing your sins, it will be a root of bitterness springing up, and it's going to trouble us. And the end of that verse says, and there be many that are defiled by it. Friends, don't let that defile you. Look diligently, the Bible says, unto Jesus. Friends, it only happens. The springing up of the root of bitterness, the defiling of that, only happens when we give in to the temptation of disobedience first. And then when we give in to the temptation of self-pity and wallowing in it, bitterness springs up. I don't know why God saved me. I don't know why I even go to church. It's not going to work. You just get so self-pitiful. It really is, quite frankly, disgusting in God's eyes. Don't do it. He said, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and so many that are defiled by that. That's why verses 12 and 13 exhort us to strengthen ourselves. And he says, make straight paths for your feet. Now turn back to our text in Ephesians chapter 6 again. If you would, turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and find with me again verses 10 and 11. The Bible here says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And in what? The power of His might, the Bible says. And verse 11 says, and put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You see, we are no match, friends, for the wiles of the devil. You might have a PhD, you might have your master's, you might have a double master's, you might have a doctorate, but we're still no match for the wiles of the devil. But God's already defeated him. Jesus, using nothing but the Word of God, with absolute faith in God, has broken Satan's power, and with his power and might, with God's power and might, we can stand against the wiles of the devil. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 tells us in verse number 13, watch ye, stand fast in what? The faith. Not in your own understanding. Lean not under your own understanding, it tells us in the book of Proverbs. But stand fast. Stand strong in the faith. It goes on in that verse in 1 Corinthians 16:13. It says, quit you like men and be strong. In other words, recognize where we are. Take accountability for where we are. Don't be a coward to go before God and fall down on your knees and pour out your heart in tears before God. That is quitting you like men. And be strong and stand in the faith. Our text here tonight in Ephesians chapter 6, look at verses 12 and 13. Verse 12, it's over here on this page. Verse 12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We might be able to win against flesh and blood, but it says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, do the best you can. No, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Surely, and without question, we are in the midst of some exceeding sinful and evil days, are we not? Take Asaph's example. Go up to God. Give Him your all, your time, your heart, your mind, so that we do not lack the power of His might. As the Bible says, having done all, we can stand. Or will we, in the very moment or hour of our greatest need, suddenly hear the same words that Peter heard? What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Friends, I don't want to have to hear that. I don't think any of us want to have to hear that. And it brings us to the last part of the message tonight. In that very account in the Garden of Gethsemane, after Jesus found them asleep the first time, His rebuke and exhortation to them was to what? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Which is what we have just been studying. Watch and pray. But it specifically adds that dimension to our watchman duties. We're to watch, but we're to watch unto prayer. Nowhere are we told to ever take on the challenges of temptation or this evil world, the evil days, as it says here in our text, on our own. Do you find anywhere in Scripture that God says, go ahead, take it on yourself, you'll be all right? Not in my Bible. Nor are we to decide the best course of action for ourselves as to what we do next. Because, frankly, can I be frank with you? Frankly, we don't have the right wisdom or the full knowledge of any given situation that God does. So with all of our watching and our looking diligently, it is to be done with prayer, taking it to God who has the wisdom and the knowledge of the situation and will lead us into what we should do next. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7 reads, but the end of all things is at hand. We heard that this morning in the message. I was so thrilled this morning that message led right into tonight, or I was following right along. It was fantastic. 1 Peter 4, 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober. And what's the last phrase? Watch unto prayer. Watch what's going on in our lives. Where are we spiritually speaking? Correct that yourselves. Pull yourself up by the bootstraps. No, friend. Watch unto prayer. Get before the Lord, our God, our Redeemer. God gives us in the last portion of our text here tonight the specifics, the details, if you will, about this armor of God that we have been given to put on. Of course, we won't read it again. We've already read it once. But through this passage, starting here in verse 14, it says that we are to put on the body armor of truth, having your loins girt about with truth. We're to put on our heart's protection of righteousness. We're to stand in and walk upon the gospel of peace. He says, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We are to be guarded with faith against the wiles of the devil. And we are to and we're to be guarded with faith against the fiery darts of the wicked. And we're to be crowned with the salvation of Christ, who is to be our only, by the way, offensive weapon. If you read that passage, there is nothing that we are to do but stand in defense. And our only offense, he says, is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's Jesus Christ. And with those garments, we are being charged with one job as watchmen. One job. As we relate to others and we influence others, as we look at our own walk with God, our one job is found in our key verse, verse number 18. Look again, he writes, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto. That's watching unto prayer with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We've got to watch for ourselves. We've got to pray for God's mercy for ourselves, but we also have to lift up each other, watching and praying for each other for all saints. And Paul writes in verse 19, he goes on, he says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Friends, I submit to you that Paul, being no longer alive on this earth, but God's word, as having been given to be recorded by Paul, does live on for our use and for our edification today. We are expected, friends, to engage in prayer and watching thereunto through thick and thin, as it were, in good times and in bad, with all perseverance, the Bible says. And God says, for all saints, for the redeemed of the Lord, for Brother Jack Treiber, for Jim Dowers, for Pop Smith, for all of the saints who may be in some trials right now. He said, fellow Christians, pray for one another, who along with each one of us are commanded to share the gospel of Christ with others. That's what Paul wrote right here. He says, and pray for me too, that utterance might be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. You see, part of our prayer must be that each one of us, as God gives us opportunity, will be able to be bold in proclaiming and helping to understand the mystery of the gospel, which is really, as Paul describes in 1 Corinthians 15, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And as we find in Romans, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, we are supposed to boldly proclaim those things. Can we have such boldness if we are not in the right place before God, that he might use us for someone else's benefit? We cannot afford to be found lacking, or worse yet, asleep, as Peter, James, and John were asleep. The Lord asked them, in the hour of his greatest need on earth, to watch with me. And three times, he found them asleep. Watchmen, are you watching with all prayer in the power and in the might of the Lord, your God? Pastor, would you close the service tonight?
Well, I was thinking as Brother Steve was preaching, and things do that. They flash through a preacher's mind when they're listening to other people preaching along the line there. And he had shared about, I guess the question that came to my mind tonight is, how many of us believe that as believers, God owns everything? He owns our lives. He owns our families. He owns our homes. He owns our health. He owns all these things. I think the question is, why are we trying to control it? If he owns it, let him control it. Total and full surrender. Watch. You got to watch. Watch your thought life. You got to watch every aspect of it. Amen. Father, we thank you for this time that we can be together. We thank you for the message tonight, the challenge to ever be vigilant. Lord, we are, even by Peter, who, Lord, he At one point in his life, he bragged and he boasted about how he was ready to die with you. And then, Lord, in a very brief period of time, he was denouncing, he was denying any association with you at all. And Lord, it's so easy to boast about what we would do and should do on the mountaintop, but Lord, when we find ourselves going down in the valleys, Lord, we seem to have this change of heart. Lord, may we indeed understand that we do need to be sober, that we do need to be vigilant, because we have an adversary. And though our soul belongs to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ tonight, we realize that the testimony, well, that's up for grabs. Lord, if Satan can ruin it, he will. If the Holy Spirit of God can use it boldly and bring it to a place where souls are saved because of the testimony of the Lord, help us realize that we're the defining difference there as to whom we're going to give ourselves over to. And Lord, help us to be vigilant over our walk and over our thought life as well. And Father, we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory as you continue to work in our lives. And Lord, we realize that the Christian life is an ongoing work, and it will be until the rapture occurs. And Lord, may we be found faithfully watching as time unravels around us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.